Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hello again. Welcome, friends, family in Christ. There's so much going on in the world. Like, to quote today's guest, Pete Garcia, we were just talking before we got on the podcast. We cannot keep up with everything, but we have to remember, step back, get in the Word of God. We weren't meant to keep up and know everything that's going on, but just with the internet and the 24/7 news cycle, you want to know what's going on, but we got to be very careful not to get overwhelmed. I'll put that out there before we touch on some of the topics today, because I think we need to start in Minnesota. We're going to talk about what the Trump administration is doing also, pulling out of the World Health Organization. But Pete Garcia's got a new Substack. You already know he's on YouTube, friends, but over on Substack, it's rev310.substack.com. rev310.substack.com. And over on YouTube, you can find him at Rev310 there. Pete Garcia, there it is. So, brother, thank you so much for squeezing us into your schedule. I know you've been putting a lot out there and you're working and keeping busy. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me back. It's good to be back on with you. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. And I'd love to get you on more often, but just getting our schedules together. Let's try to do that. You've been putting out some great, great videos and content with our brothers that we've had on this show too on Worldview Matters. I love it. And let's start in Minneapolis, St. Paul, maybe, and talk about the funding. There's an article over at Free Beacon. People are finding out, the more people find out, the average American, maybe Christian, maybe conservative, maybe Republican, maybe independent, but I think the average fair-minded American citizen hears about what's going on with the money and the fraud, the corruption, and it's really maddening. So who is funding these groups harassing ICE agents in Minnesota? It seems like this is very, very well organized. And the left's premier foundations and dark money networks have given millions of dollars to these agitators. And this is on record. So let's start there, Pete. And just overall, it's what's happening in the Twin Cities now that they've been in the news before during, you know, COVID, the Black Lives Matter riots and damage and chaos. Go ahead.
Well, if I can start off with a quote, I don't know who this fella is, but he says, every single bit of chaos is being created on purpose. Every last nonsensical bit of it. The purpose is for when the time comes, you will be begging for order, their order.
And ooh, I like that.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. But if you go back, I don't know, 20 years, you can go back to Glenn Beck's programs, and he had the chalkboard back when he was on, I think, Fox or whatever. And he did the tree. And basically all of these organizations have their money tied back to George Soros and his Open Societies Foundation, which has underneath it, you know, that's the head of the umbrella. And then underneath it are all these spider web of smaller organizations that mostly sound like benign. They sound like, oh, you know, and they've been able to just kind of go under the radar for many, many years. Organizations that seem fairly innocuous, even, you know, like who would have thought that a daycare center or, you know, something like that in Minneapolis would draw the ire of, or be the vessel for so much fraud. Amazing. But I think Minneapolis is simply just, you know, as many people have said, it's the tip of the iceberg. I mean, we're going to start seeing this across a lot of different states and in a lot of cities. And I think that that is going to make 2026 a very chaotic year. But yeah, George Soros, leftist elites, you know, you got to think back to the 1960s. I think it was 1960 when the British created basically what is the offshore banking system there that we find in places like Turks and Caicos, Cayman Islands, you know, places like that, where that money system is not tied to any sovereign nation state yet. It was created by the British banking system themselves. They created it in conjunction with their exchequer and the government. And they also, you know, that's really the slush fund, if you will, for dictators, for narco groups, terrorists, basically anybody that doesn't want to have their money tied up with any kind of sovereign state. So there's estimates of up to like $70 trillion going through there, and of that, probably about 350 to 400 billion dollars is narco money that cartels use. That's the liquidity that gives. That's what gives the system the liquidity. So, I mean, there are people funding these groups for various reasons. So if you're tied up with the cartels and you want to make sure that your business is, you're able to push drugs or human trafficking or whatever it is you're trying to do, you're going to dump money into NGOs that are basically helping you facilitate that, maybe through Roman Catholic churches or through religious organizations that are very sanctuary stat, sanctuary prone, that want to promote sanctuary status for states and cities, because that helps those cartels. But then if you've got a liberal elite, political progressives from Europe or whatever, they may fund groups through other various organizations. So there's a lot of different sources from where this money is coming. But you can always bet that George Soros or his son Alex Soros is always kind of tied up in these things in some way, shape, or form.
Absolutely. And I want to just read a little bit more from this, and then we have a lot to get to, Lord willing, with you, Pete. The activists that are harassing and tormenting the ICE agents on the ground in Minnesota, they're members of radical groups that together they've received millions of dollars from the left's premier foundations, dark money networks, including George Soros Open Society Foundations, the Ford Foundation, the Tides Foundation, and the 1630 Fund. But here's one I hadn't heard of. At the center of the unrest in Minneapolis-St. Paul is the Sunrise Movement. It's a left-wing group that was founded to fight climate change, but since they've been directed, now recently redirected its local chapters to fight Trump and ICE and what really law and order. So these are paid agitators. It's amazing. And as you said, it's not just Minneapolis, St. Paul. You see this happening in more blue cities or states, don't you?
Yeah, because I think as Trump is targeting, the first thing that the Trump administration did this year was go after USAID, which had largely been known by most Washington insiders as a CIA slush fund for, regime change, color revolutions, all that kind of stuff that they use that for around the world. And then he started going after all of the fraud, waste, and abuse inside of the federal system with DOGE, right? So that was the whole thing with DOGE. What's fascinating is that AI has enabled these relatively small workforce or task force to be able to uncover decades and decades worth of fraud that was just buried in bureaucrat minutia, in paperwork, in jargon. AI was able to sort through that very quickly, and that's how they were able to do as much as they were able to do with the Pentagon, with HHS and all the other organizations, Department of Education, Department of Energy. So a lot of that money that was fueling the Democrat machine across all these states, that was the money coming from the legal, I say legal, air quotes, from the legal side. But then on the other side, you had the Alex Soros, George Soros tied organizations that largely go under the banner of a non-governmental organization or NGO. And so that money was kind of coming in from both sides, on top of money coming in from campaign donors, and put in air quotes again, from other countries, Venezuela, the Maduro's top intel guy that they caught a little while ago said that he's got Republicans and Democrats that were on the take, and he's got their names, he's got all their information. So money was coming in, but now that they start going after all the money, then a lot of this stuff is starting to dry up around the US, and then that in turn is where these activists come in. The Soros guys step up, organizations like Soros or the cartels or the wealthy progressives from abroad begin funding these groups to turn up the pressure against Trump, to try and turn the tide against Trump politically and through the media, so that he backs off. And instead of backing off, he's doubling and tripling down on this. So I think this year is going to be very chaotic. And I think the blue states, States that have been blue politically for more than, say, 20 years are in very deep trouble from
I
now until.
agree. Yeah, I know you're kind of speculating there, but there's a lot of research and there's a lot of history and there's a lot of, we know their playbook that goes into this, the Saul Alinsky tactics, the Cloward-Piven strategy. It seems like this goes back 50 years. Can we now, instead of just calling them Democrats or the left, can we now start bringing in socialists or communists? Because it seems like maybe they're not all communists, but it seems like communist policy is what they're forcing on Americans. They really are anti-American, not just anti-Christian, but anti-American, maybe anti-Constitution. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you can call a spade a spade. They're socialist, communist, Marxist, Islamists, they're all kind of coming from an anti-constitution, anti-Judeo-Christian worldview. So, that's fine. I think the Democrat Party quit being the Democrat Party a long, long time ago. So I think a lot of Democrats, that's why Trump was a Democrat, RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard, they were all Democrats. And they were like, man, you guys have moved way too far left for us. And so I think they should. I've said this for a long time, that the Democrat Party, is dead. And at least for the last couple of years, I've been saying this. And I think that they're gonna have to rebrand in order for them to stay politically viable. But if the Republicans can just get their act together, get rid of the rhinos, get the Murkowskis and those folks that they're Republican in name only, get them out, bring back the nuclear option in the Senate, and they can nuke this filibuster thing, and then they can start because And I think Trump knows that if the Democrats ever get back in power, we're done. It'll just be a closed system forever. So that's why things are so drastic.
By the grace of God, and I mean that. Now, whether Trump is a fully converted Bible-believing Christian or not, God knows his heart. But by the grace of God, we don't have a Kamala Harris or a Joe Biden or a, oh my goodness, this country would have been gone. But right now, we've got an opportunity, and we need to keep up with some of what's going on to understand how we got here. So do you want to transition now, Pete? You sent me an article on, and I don't even know what a blue zone is or was until I read this and started learning about this. But yet I've seen destruction of cities. I've seen law enforcement. I mean, there was the defund the police movement, but they also, some of these cities cut the fire departments. These are, I mean, my goodness, citizens need the police and the fire department and all these services, but yet some cities are just cutting, and that can't end well. And we're seeing some of the evidence of that, aren't we?
Yeah. So when I say blues, or the article Chris Bray was talking in his article, excellent article, recommend people read it. It's basically describing how collapse happens and what it looks like. We all are kind of led to believe in through movies, books, or whatever, that when the collapse happens, it's going to be all at once. But his description of it is very accurate to what we see today in places like Philadelphia, Baltimore, Chicago, Los Angeles, San Francisco, New York City, and many other places that have been Democrat strongholds forever. They are rotting from the inside out. And it goes through a staging process of how you can tell that this is starting to fall in on itself. And primarily, I look at it like this, that Democrats, here in the last 20 years don't function in reality anymore. They don't function in the world of reality. They're functioning off of feelings, off of emotions, and they don't understand how things work. And you can just go through, we don't have time. We could do a whole 2-day marathon of just dumb things Democrats have said over the last couple of years that have no basis in reality. When they asked the Supreme Court justice nominee, the newest one, the black lady, I can't remember her name.
Ketanji Brown Jackson.
Yes, yeah. Can you define a woman? And she's like, I know. She couldn't even define a woman. So
Well,
these
she's
people
not a
aren't.
biologist.
Yeah, oh, of course.
God, no.
So they're not living in reality. And so if they're not living and functioning in reality, how do you expect them to competently run a city or a state, which is incredibly difficult to do? You've got so many things that are happening that need constant care and attention. And we saw that played out in real life in last January when the fires were raging through Los Angeles and they ran out of water. And so California is already driven out. You know, as bad as places like Minnesota and you know, Minneapolis, not Minnesota, the state, but Minneapolis, Chicago, you know, Baltimore, et cetera, are in terms of their own economic black holes, if I can put it that way. California is estimated to be in an $18 billion deficit for this year, and that's expected to go up to 35 billion by next year. And they're doing all this stuff. They're driving businesses out of their state. Energy producers, they're shutting down pipelines and plants. Oh, and these places are shutting down themselves because they can't afford to meet the bureaucratic and environmental restrictions that are being placed upon them. So they're going to be losing money every day if they stay open. So they're just shutting down and they're relocating or moving their headquarters and their operations to other places, just like Tesla moved out. I mean, so a lot of places are fleeing these blue states and they're coming to red states. And I say red in the sense like, I know that not all of Texas is conservative, but because most of the major cities like Dallas and Houston and Austin are very liberal. And I would even take this down to those levels, like city budgets and places like that, they're only being propped up by the states that they live in. But if you have a blue state and a blue city, in these like you know, metropolis kind of cities, these major cities, urban areas, they're going to be, I think they're going to have, we're going to start seeing these cities start to shutter. And you can just go around. I mean, I went the other day to a place here outside of Dallas, brand new mall. And it's not brand new, but it's a very nice mall. And inside of that mall, there was probably, I don't know, half of the stores were shuttered, were shut down. And that's not there. I've been to other malls and other places just to see it. And it's everything is shutting down. Now, a lot of that does have to do with online shopping and things like that. There's other things, but taken in conjunction, that mall used to be a thriving, healthy place, and now it's becoming almost like a ghost town. And a lot of these cities, Los Angeles, Baltimore, et cetera, they too are going to start becoming ghost towns. And that's why they've been bringing in and importing these illegal aliens, because they're losing their populations. And so that's why they're flying in, you know, millions of Somalis or Haitians or, you know, people from third world countries, you know, through the open border process, as well as just very lax immigration laws, and then sanctuary status for cities and states that defy, you know, federal law. So things are coming to a head this year. That's all I'm trying to say with it.
I think you absolutely, you're spot on. We're going to take a brief pause, but we've got to talk more about this blue zone collapse and maybe some stats on firefighters, fire departments that you, it might surprise you, maybe not since the Defund the Police movement, but we'll be right back on Worldview Matters. Register now for the Worldview Matters Conference, May 1st and 2nd in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Expert speakers include Alex Newman, Brianna Clausen, Olivier Melnick, Tim Chafee, Mark and Amber Archer, Laura Perry Smaltz, Jake Jacobs, Jay Siegert, Gary Kaw, Scott Shera, and Elijah Abraham. Delta Hotel, Green Bay, May 1st and 2nd. Go to worldviewmattersconference.com. That's worldviewmattersconference.com. So back to this article, what blue zone collapse looks like. I watched some of the videos that are within this article, and I've seen a lot of videos through the years on the true story of what happened to Detroit. And it is sad. It is tragic. And there's one of those videos in here of more recent what things look like. But I mean, it cites one city in California, Vallejo, which cut their police force nearly in half, and then unable to pay its bills. The city filed for bankruptcy. And then it talks about another place, the East Contra Costa Fire Department District. 2019, 10 firefighters, it says, covered 250 square miles, much of it well populated, 10 firefighters. And then another place, Bethel Island, they didn't have a fire station any longer. The fire department's average response time to major emergencies A little under 14 minutes for the first engine to arrive. And same thing, Detroit now. And I'll let you go wherever you want with this, Pete. Detroit Police Department, there's such a lack of response there. It looks like 50%, there's a 50% chance that police would show up within an hour if you were shot or stabbed and called 911. And so there's a subheading here, life, death, and 911. Thousands in crisis in Detroit waiting for police. So they don't have the resources either. And this is common, like you said, in blue cities and blue states.
Yeah, there's 10 signs that you can look at for as you can look around and see if is my state in that kind of problem. You probably already know this just intuitively if you're watching this program, but you have rapid and persistent population decline, which means if you're looking around and you start seeing a lot of people that don't look like they were from there, wherever they are, that they're importing people into that location in order to backfill the loss of the native population there.
Wow.
You have major job losses and business closures. Again, empty commercial properties. You go around, places are boarded up, or the major industries there are shutting down or closing their stores because they can't afford to stay open any longer. They're losing too much money. Skyrocketing unemployment and underemployment rates, severe budget deficits and insolvency. Municipal debt crisis, pension and healthcare liabilities have gone out of control. Declining property values or foreclosure spikes. There's essential services, what this article touches on. You know, mm-hmm. those things are starting to get cut, and which increases delay in response from law enforcement or fire departments or even ambulance service or hospitals. Rising crime and social unrest. And then loss of credit access and business investment. So nobody's coming back in to invest in those places.
Hmm.
And so those are kind of 10 key markers that you look at and say, okay, well, and I know that not everybody has the ability to move. And I know not everybody even maybe wants to move because they're from there or their family's there or whatever, you know, they've got history. So that's a tough decision you got to, you know, make with you and your family or with God. And, so personal decisions to stay or go, but God's going to use us wherever he can use us. And,
yep.
and it doesn't matter, you know, I guess in the long run, if you're looking for a soft, comfortable life, that's one thing. I'm more or less, you know, addressing the fraud, waste and abuse that have so gutted our nation that we're starting to not just see the effects. We're going to start feeling the effects, I think, this year.
Did this start, I mean, we've been down to 5 minutes now, Pete. Did this, some of it start, or did it balloon during Lyndon Johnson's Great Society when all these big programs that were supposed to eradicate poverty and things like that, right? Help the inner cities.
Yeah.
The money never gets to the people really in need. Go ahead and speak to that for a moment.
Well, yeah. So Lyndon Johnson's Great Society basically created the welfare state within most of these urban areas that basically devastated like black communities. It devastated the family, the nuclear family, you know, a father, mother, children in the house. They incentivized single motherhood,
yep.
which caused spike in divorce, which caused, you know, children to grow up without both parents in the house, which caused a rise in crime and all sorts of others. So there's all these trickle down effects from there. But then you had the free trade, like the free trade thing that has basically was designed after World War II to give the world a leg up after World War II, primarily Europe and Japan and places. But that's been at the detriment to the United States. And so a lot of places, a lot of businesses have been, you know, shipping their business operations overseas because it's easier and cheaper to pay, you know, a Chinese worker, you know, $2 a day to work 12 hours than it is to pay an American worker, you know, whatever the hourly rate is, plus the union, plus, you know, healthcare benefits, all that stuff. So we did it to ourselves in a lot of ways in the corporate sector. So I think that Trump is trying to rectify a lot of those issues. And look, Trump is doing things that I don't agree with.
Yeah.
And this board of peace, I'm not on board with that. I'm not on board with how he treats Israel a lot of the times. But Some of the things that he has done in terms of just trying to stop the fraud, waste, and abuse, stop the open borders, the drugs flowing over like a fire hose, and the human trafficking and the child trafficking, all of that stuff. He's done a lot of great things with regard to stopping those things. So I am thankful for that, but I think we know we're this close to the end before the Lord returns, because United States, at least as the way she is today, with the Constitution, Bill of Rights, et cetera, we're not in the Bible. We're not described as some great Western power in the Bible. So something happens to us. I think this is kind of just the tip of the iceberg, and we're going to see this year, I think, is going to be a very chaotic year. So just buckle up.
It is already. We're already seeing it in the news, and that's why we've got to stay rooted and grounded in the truth and comfort and encouragement of the scriptures. Like you said, I don't agree with everything President Trump does, but he cut funding for climate change and 30 other UN agencies recently, also pulled out of the WHO. Different things that I don't know why it took so long for an American president or anyone with the guts to do it to make some of these moves. But Pete, in the final minute and a half, whatever you'd like to share to encourage people or just stress the word of the year, discernment.
So discernment definitely is going to be key this year with the amount of AI, social media posts, deep fakes, things like that. So we need to be discerning. I know that it's people want to despair because what we're being fed on the news all the time, it's always negative. It's always kind of everything is on fire. It's all Trump's fault. It's evil. Everything is wicked. And I don't even watch the news anymore, honestly, unless something is breaking and I'm just trying to stay ahead. But stay grounded in God's word. Stay grounded in His promise to come back for us, because that is scriptural. John 14:1-3, Jesus said, "Look, if I'm going to go away, I'm going to come back, and I'm going to take you to be where I am, receive you to myself, and take you to be where I am." So God is not a liar. He can't lie. And it's been nearly 2,000 years now, coming up on 2033. So we're getting close. We know we're in the season of his return. We don't know the day or the hour. Nobody know that, but we know that we're close. So we can cling to that blessed hope
Amen.
while he's on fire.
Amen. I pre appreciate the work you do, Pete. It must be somewhat exhausting for you and then some of the content and things we have to discuss with our platforms, just trying to edify, equip the body of Christ, maybe challenge and warn people too. We have to redeem the time. As you said, this is going to be a crazy year. It's already started off that way. But, brother, appreciate your time. And Lord willing, we'll do it again very soon.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Dave. It's good to be
All
back
right.
with you.
Thanks. Same here. God bless you, friends. Share this one, share them all. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.